All right. Thank you, guys. We are blessed with talent and musicians here. I see all the things in the bulletin and Thursday night, and I went out after I had a few meetings here, and then I left here and went to the food pantry and pulled very few carts. I didn't do a whole lot, but they had a kind of a slow night there. They gave groceries out to 169 families, and they considered that a slow night. And as I was looking at them, I just really loved seeing the folks in North Point love on people in a lot of different ways. You know, and I pulled up one evening, and there's folks out here cutting grass, and every night it seems like there's something going on up here or doing something. And that's what I always dreamed of, is for us to be busy. Because to me, if you build a building, and it's kind of like, I look at church like a hot dog stand, that if you only sold hot dogs one day a week, it wouldn't be a very lucrative business. And we've got the greatest news in the world, that Jesus Christ came and he rose. He died and he rose for you and me. And for that, we can be free. But in saying all this, I want to tell you, there's a place for you to serve. There's a place that you can be doing something. Whether it's in the food pantry, whether it's teaching our kids, whether it's on the cleaning team, whether it's cutting grass or restocking the toilet paper. And yes, I've been thankful for that every once in a while. I was sitting there one day thinking, you know, this didn't just show up. Somebody actually put it on here. And for that, right now, I'm eternally grateful. There's always something to do. And you don't have to ask me to do it. Jump in. We've been talking about You Make Me Crazy this whole summer. We got a couple of more Sundays to go in, and I'm going to be talking about you can't please everybody. And you can't, can you? I think that God has challenged me in this series, especially with this emotional abuse thing. I've been thinking about a month, every 9 seconds, a woman is beaten or assaulted. And that just infuriates me. It shouldn't happen. So we're feeding people. We got a medical clinic coming. That's coming. 2014 is going to be just a bang up year, as far as getting out there and doing what Jesus called us to do. And now I believe we're going to have a battered women's shelter. That's in the planning stages. There's going to be plenty of places for you to serve. So there's really no excuse for you to sit on the sidelines and watch. No excuse at all. There's going to be something for everybody. We started last week talking about how to break free from this emotional abuse. And it happens. Emotional, verbal, physical, sexual. And if you wasn't here last week, you can get those CDs. You can get the previous CDs. And I think I just found out today, I just listened. I think you can get everything online, too. You can listen to it at our website. So go do that. Listen to it. But we found out that the first thing you had to do to break free from emotional abuse is to talk about it. You have to be willing to speak about it and to others, and which is the very, very first step. But it takes an enormous, amount of courage to do that and to help someone do that. So don't keep it a secret. I loved what Leanne was singing, "You're Not Alone." Guys, there's about 800 or 900 of us. There's no reason that you're not alone. You got Jesus Christ and we got each other. So don't keep it a secret, you know. And then secondly, we said name the abuse. Identify. I gave you a long list of different things, you know, aggravation, humiliation, manipulation, denigration, a lot of different things. You got to name it. Put a name to the abuse. Don't sweep it under the rug, which was number three. Don't minimize it. Don't minimize it means, you know, don't rationalize it. Don't make little of it. Say, oh, he was just having a bad day. Or you know, something like that. And certainly don't say, I brought it on myself. You didn't. I want to tell you, you don't deserve to be abused. It's not right. It's wrong to be verbally, physically, emotionally, or sexually abused. It's wrong. I want to tell you, it's not your fault. It's just not. So, whether you're needing to break free or want to help someone break free, these seven steps can help you. Let's go to number four. If you got your outline out. Number four is to help them to a safe place if necessary. I believe we're going to build that place. We may not be able to help everybody, but we can help a couple, three at a time. We're going to help them. You know, help them to a safe place if necessary. You know, someone may just need to get out of this situation. And you know, I want to say this as clearly as I can, because I love you very much, every one of you, is that if you're being physically or sexually abused, you need to get out now. Not tomorrow morning, but tonight. Not the next day, but today. Get out now. There's not a single verse in the Bible that says a child or a wife or a husband has to remain in a situation where their life is in danger or they're being sexually abused. Not a single verse in the Bible that says that. It ain't there. You need to get out of the relationship now. You say, well, Jim, you know, I'm married. Well, you know, I didn't say divorce them now, because I've seen all kinds of miracles take place where marriages were totally restored and made new. Totally. And their lives were put back together after a major separation. I got to be honest with you. I would never encourage you and have never encouraged anyone to get a divorce. But I have suggested a separation for the purpose of reconciliation. To get away. Sometimes you got to get somebody's attention by moving out, moving away, you know, with the intention of reconciliation. Sometimes that has to take place for that purpose. But I want to tell you, if you are a child is being physically abused or sexually abused, report it today. Report it now. And get out of it. Get away from it right now. Then you begin to pray. And you take some of these steps that I've shared with you, you know, and you can put it back together. And not in the old way, but in a whole new one where everyone is changed. And it can happen. It can happen. You say, well, Jim, how can I help my friend who is being physically or sexually abused, you know? I want to tell you, help them get the courage to report it. You know, help them talk about it. Let them know it's the law. It's not right to be abused physically or sexually. It's against the law. And then I want you to understand the pain that's in their life while you're doing this. I want you to put yourself in their shoes like the Bible tells us to. In Hebrews, it says, look on victims of abuse as if what happened to them happened to you. Guys, you and I, we're supposed to take the abuse of another person as seriously as it was happening to us. That's how serious we're supposed to take it. Guys, you and me, we're not supposed to stand by and do nothing. God commanded it. He wants us to share the load of those who are abused. Look at Galatians 6:2. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We're to share the load. Abuse can happen anywhere, not just at home. It can happen at work. It can happen in the office, at school. It can happen in our neighborhoods. And you know what? As Christians, we ought to be ready to stand up and protect the abused. Wherever they are. Whether it's Kingston or Afghanistan or Calhoun or Lebanon or Mexico, we ought to be ready to stand up. Because if anybody should be on the right side of love and the law, it ought to be Christians. It ought to be us. You know, none of this, well, Jim, it's really none of my business. Well, if you care, if you love, and if you call yourself a Christian, it's your business. It's your business. If we hear of it, we gotta take some action. We gotta stop covering it up. In dealing with it, I've seen how God works, you know, when you confront it, when you deal with it. I'm telling you, there's reasons behind everything. How many times have you heard me tell you that hurt people? You see, what I found out is abusive people have typically been abused themselves. Hurt people. Guys, we're all broken. We gotta deal with it. We gotta stop pretending that it's just not happening. So Christians, we gotta stand up. And we got to protect the defenseless. We got to protect the offended victims, wherever they are. Number five is a very important point I'd like for you to write down, is don't confront an abuser by yourself. Very, very important. Don't confront an abuser by yourself. You know, don't walk out here and say, Jim said, I'm going to confront him. And just don't do it. Don't confront the abuser, the issue, by yourself. That's neither wise nor safe. Don't do that. You got somebody that's abusing. You got somebody that's abusing people in the office. You know, if you go to that person by yourself, you're just asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble. Solomon tells about the wisdom of doing the difficult things together and not on your own, but as a team. I love the way he worded it in Ecclesiastes. He says, by yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you get a third person? He said, a three-stranded rope isn't easily snapped. Sometimes you need group intervention. But you go in a spirit of love and restoration, not of condemnation. You want to, because ultimately you want to get it fixed. You don't go there as a big judgmental bully. But you want to restore gently and humbly. You want to turn the light of truth on in this dark area that everybody's had. And we see the secrets are hid in the dark. But we can turn, we each can turn the light on of truth. Ephesians. I'm so dumb. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, rebuke and expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But when the light shines on them, it becomes clear how evil these things are. And where your light shines, it will expose their evil deeds. Shine the light of truth, but don't do it by yourself. Don't do it by yourself. Number six, begin the healing process. Begin the healing process. This is what we call recovery. And Jesus talks about it in the Beatitudes. The eight Beatitudes are the 12 steps of recovery, you know, as Jesus summarizes them, you know. Many folks have gone through recovery here at North Point, and going to be more. And just to let you know, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're. We have a small. I want to tell you about Celebrate Recovery really quick, if you hadn't heard of it. We start on Monday nights at 6. We'll feed you, so come hungry. At 7 o'clock, we stop eating. And we come inside for group worship. Then at 8 o'clock, we break off from that and we go into small groups. We have small groups for people who are suffering from abuse. What's said here stays here. But it's a good place for you and for me to begin this healing process. And so I invite you to come. I told the 9 o'clock service, I'd love for you to walk in that door and you tell Miss Kitty and them, I'm here and Jim invited me. I don't know if that'll get you an extra helping or not, but we'll feed you one. But I really wish you'd come. We want to help as much as we can. We want to love you and we want you to recover. Job had some advice that was given to him by one of his friends a few thousand years ago, and it still makes sense today if you're struggling with this pain of abuse. He said this was some advice to Job. Put your heart right. Reach out to God. Put away any evil and wrong from your home. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory, like floods that are past and remembered no more. Your life will be brighter than sunshine at noon, and life's darkest hours will shine like the dawn. As your pastor, I want that to be true in your life, that all your troubles would fade from your memory. Isn't that a great place to be? That you don't remember them anymore. All your troubles. The world's tough enough without remembering our troubles, isn't it? Today's tough enough without remembering what happened to me yesterday. He teaches us a couple of things. And to do this, he said, you got to put your heart right. You got to put your heart right. What that means is you got to make a courageous decision to do what is right. To do what's right. It may even make you unpopular among the other parents. But you've made a courageous decision to do what is right. It may seem like it's going to hurt your family for a little while, but guys, it takes courage It takes courage to stop keeping a secret. It takes courage to speak up. Then Job's friend says, reach out to God. Reach out to God. Guys, we need to turn to Jesus Christ. I know this sounds like a preacher, but Jesus Christ is your Savior. He is your Savior. They don't call Jesus Savior for nothing. They just don't do it. He came to save you and I from abuse. He came to save you from your sin. He came just not to save you from the sins against you, but also the ones that you and I do. He came to save us from all of that. Then the next thing Job says is, put away any evil and wrong from your home. He says, get away from evil. Get out of your house, out of your life. Clean house if you have to. At this point, you want to get away from abuse to get help and get hope. I want to tell you that there's hope out there, whether it's relationally or emotionally. You may have to clean house. Clean house. Come with us on Monday nights. There's no reason for you to suffer in silence anymore. None. I'm surprised at how many of you are walking around hurting. You went through all kind of crap in your life. You've been beaten, you've been abused in lots of different ways, and you're sitting there suffering, and you don't have to. You just don't have to. One last thing to get healed. This is one thing that I had to learn and still practice it. Let God settle the score. Let God settle the score. Don't get even. Don't you retaliate. Don't try to hurt them back. I mean, don't get resentful and get kind of, the tit for tat thing. Just don't. It won't work. Let God settle the score. Don't try to settle it yourself on Facebook. I see it so many times. I'm going to rise above the situation. So I'm not going to mention so-and-so's name that badmouthed me. Let God settle the score. Because when you have a relationship with somebody, you got three potential levels or positions. You can be the first level, you can be beneath them morally. Or you can be kind of even with them on the same level as they are morally. Or you can take the moral high ground and be above them. I want you to be better than they are morally. I want you to take the high ground. The first one about being beneath them is kind of like this. If I come out and hurt you and you've done nothing wrong, that makes me worse than you. Now, if you hurt me and I hurt you back, I'm just even. I'm just even. Whenever you get even, you're no better than the perpetrator. You're just even. You're just even. You're on the same level. You're no better than the abuser. You're just even. But when you forgive them and you let God settle the score, you're better than they are. Morally, you're better than they are. You're on a higher plane because you're forgiving. As Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. 1 Peter 3:9 says, never repay one wrong with another, or one abusive word with another. Facebook. Instead, repay with a blessing. That's what you're called to do, so that you inherit a blessing. Guys, if you and me want God's blessing, do you want God's blessing? If you do, you got to be different. I got to be different than the world. If I want God's blessing, I got to be different. We can't do that. We got to be different. Whether you've been abused sexually, verbally, physically, emotionally, I'm telling you, and I'm going to sound like a preacher again, but there's one person in this entire universe who understands you completely and understands what you're going through more than anybody else, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's been through it all. I love how the Bible, God described him in Isaiah 53. He says he was wounded and crushed for our sin. Said he was beaten and bruised so that we could have peace. He was mocked and whipped so that we could be healed. If you've never met Jesus Christ, your healing starts here. Jesus is your healer. Nobody has ever been more abused than Jesus Christ. He knows the pain that you're going through. He took the guilt of yours and he died for it. He took every abuse that was ever done and he took it on himself so that we could be forgiven. That we could have peace and we could be healed. You got to meet the healer to be emotionally healed. You're not going to get healed on your own. Psalm 34 said, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those whose spirits have been crushed. I've talked to you. Nothing crushes your spirit like abuse. Nothing does it. It degrades you. It belittles you. It devalues you. You feel put down. You feel misused. You feel mistreated. But the healer will set you free. The healer cares, and he knows what you've gone through. And I ask you today to get to know the healer, Jesus Christ. You ain't got. I want to tell you guys, if you're kicking the tires of Christianity, you ain't got to know everything. You don't have to know everything about Jesus Christ. This is just a starting point that this man, Jesus Christ, was a man and he was God. And he says, Jesus Christ is the healer. If you've been abused and you've suffered all this time, I want to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the starting point. Just get to know him. Begin that relationship today. If you want to be set free from this, learn to love Jesus. Like I say, you ain't gotta know everything, but I want to tell you, as somebody that's been through it, he can heal your mind and he can heal your body. I'm somebody that you can't tell that Jesus Christ isn't real. He has healed me. He has cared for me. He loves me and he protects me. Did Jesus Christ retaliate when he was abused? Absolutely not. 1 Peter 2:23 says, Christ never verbally abused those who verbally abused him. When he suffered, he didn't make any threats, but left everything to the one who judges fairly. One of these days, God will balance the books. One of these days, God will settle the score. One of these days, God's going to right all the wrongs. And I trust in that. God is a just God. And I tell you what, I found out after 51 years. And I'm ashamed to say it makes me smile sometimes, but God can do a whole lot better job of settling the score than I can. But I had to learn to leave it in his hands. He's God and I ain't. He's God and you're not. Well, I know this has been a tough couple of Sundays. I've talked to people in the hall, and I know when they call me to the side and they start to whisper. A lady called me to the side in between services. And she began to whisper about the physical abuse that she'd went through. The verbal abuse. All this stuff just pukes up a lot of emotion. But we got to deal with it. Because one of the problems about abuse, maybe the biggest problem, is that it's contagious. It's contagious. Abuse gets passed from generation to generation. We got to deal with it. If you've ever experienced any kind of abuse in your family, you've learned some patterns. And more likely than not, it's going to be passed on. This year, they predict over 10 million kids, 10 million, will witness a domestic violence situation. That's unacceptable to me. Unacceptable. That they witness abuse in their families. So men, whether you're dad, uncle, granddad, somebody has to say no more. No more. It may have happened to me, but today I say no more. Will you start now? You can do it with Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it on your own. Help is here, and hope is here. He's waiting for you. Now Lee's going to come sing. We've got a baptism. Isn't that something? A dad and his daughter. We're going to start today. A lot of people ask me, I guess because I'm not some big fiery preacher, Not that they're wrong, but it's just not me. I want you to know that the altar's open. You can come pray anytime you want to. You can come here, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or you can do it in your seat. Or you can do it on the way home. But the main thing is you do it. That healing starts today. All we're doing here is trying to, we can't save you. All we're doing here is try to provide an environment that leads you to the cross. And that's about it. Let's pray. My Lord, I'm so sorry we've turned into a place that beats and assaults our women every 9 seconds. But Lord, with your help, Lord, we're going to try to help that. We're going to try to help some of those 10 million kids. Well, we're going to try to help our marriages this fall come together. We can't do it alone. We need you and we need each other to make an impact. We can change our world. We want to do what you instructed us to do. Out of love for you and love for humanity. We thank you that you've given us the resources to do it. And the facilities and the people. We love you, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.